Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Horvat in a little bit. Producer Todd is always with us. He's more in our hearts than he is a real human boy. We'll start with the Brewers. They get the 4-2 win. We'll talk some Brewers. We'll talk some Bucks. We'll talk some Packers. I'm excited at 9:30 to talk to Peter Bukowski with Locked On Packers. Former enemy turned friend after I made up with everybody on Twitter, except for Rob Demoski, who still has me blocked. You guys have tried, thank you, but Rob's made his decision. And then did he block you yet, Sam? Because I put you in my bio for Twitter.
No, still good.
Okay, because that's how Horvat got blocked. Any affiliation with the show, Rob Demoski, ESPN blocked. And I'm still not sure what I did. So when there's Packers breaking news, you have to tell me. Like, not just during the show, like in life. Because I don't see it. So you have to send me a text if you don't mind doing that. The Brewers yesterday, so they one hit the Cubs the other day. And then Brandon Woodruff has a no-hitter through six. Did you let yourself at all start thinking no-hitter at any point in this game yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
When?
Probably, sixth inning, I would say.
All right, sixth inning. I need it at least through the seventh because I feel like I've seen the Brewers have a no-hitter through six. I feel like they lead the league in that. Like, historically, for a team that has one no-hitter ever, one no-hitter, which is even more fascinating because they one-hit the Cubs the other night, and it was their 18th one-hitter. So they have 18 one-hitters. 18 times they've had one game that they've been one hit away. Now, we like to think they have two no-hitters. And that CeCe Sabathia against the Pirates had one in 2008. And the scorekeeper, Bob Webb, gave an error. He ruled it a hit instead. CeCe fumbled the ball on a little comebacker. That's an error. Now, Bob Webb gave it a hit, and it ruined the no-hitter. And then that was the only hit of the game to add insult to injury. Yesterday, Brandon Woodruff has a no-hitter through six. And I'm going to bring up my buddy here who sent me a text after the sixth inning. And he said, "Are you superstitious?" I said, "What?" He said, "How about baseball?" I go, oh, no. Because the common thing when there's a no-hitter happening is you don't talk about it. You can't mention it. It jinxes the no-hitter. Which we put a poll up, and the last time I checked, unless you guys are being funny or whatever, half of you believe in it. Half of you believe in the jinx. It's one thing if you're with your buddies and you're saying the no-hitter. You're saying, hey, there's a no-hitter. it's another thing if you're at the game. When the announcers on TV do it, I think that's when people are like, okay, relax. Or the radio announcers, please don't say it. Craig Kishon had said it a few times calling the game yesterday. Brian Anderson says it too when the Brewers are having a no-hitter. He is he's talked about this. He says, I am describing the game, and currently there's a no-hitter being thrown, so I'm saying it. I don't think there's a no-hitter jinx at all. I think it's fun, though, if we want to pretend there is. And if you're an announcer of the game and you don't say the words no-hitter when there's a no-hitter going, I think that's just part of, you know, it's just a quirky part of being a fan of baseball. I'm down for that. I have no problem with that. But it doesn't do anything. Please know that if you say no-hitter, it does not do anything. You disagree?
I understand where everybody comes from, but I am superstitious because I do.
So Brian Anderson says the words, he's got a no-hitter, you think it's over?
Not necessarily, but it sort of rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, it's a fun thing.
Even when I want to see, it doesn't matter if it's like a Brewer or the opposing pitcher. If I'm at the game, I just want to see a no-hitter sometime in my lifetime. Like, I was at the Max Scherzer game when he had, like, you know, probably 13 strikeouts against the Brewers, and I didn't even move from my seat.
Oh, yeah. If you got an, I think most fans agree to that they want to see a no-hitter. Now, in person, I should say. Because when the Brewers got no hit by, what, Alec Mills? I mean, nobody wanted to see that if you weren't there.
Well, yeah, I don't want to see him get no hit against the Cubs.
They got no hit by Justin Verlander 10-some years ago in Detroit. I remember that game. That was a day game that wasn't on TV, but I was able to watch it because I worked at a TV station at the time, and we used, like, our super high-tech satellite to hack in somehow. But I watched it on a monitor that was, like, 2 inches. But I did painfully see that game. I didn't get any work done that day. My story that day was garbage. It was probably about, you know, there was a new crosswalk painted by a school or something. And I had to report live. Reporting live here. That was me. So a no-hitter, yeah, you want to see it in person, even if it's against your team. If it's not in person, definitely never. Hell no. No, all no-hitters. You don't want to see it. But when it's happening for your team, I think a lot of people buy into the jinx. But even if you don't, it's still fun not to say it. So Brandon Woodruff has a no-hitter through six. And they start mentioning it on the broadcast. And even my buddy that texts me, are you superstitious? He wants to talk to me about there being a no-hitter. Even that I feel like you shouldn't do. If you really feel the jinx. So he says, are you superstitious about baseball? I said, no. He goes, good. This is happening today. I said, no, it is not. We know this. Now, Yelich had a catch in the sixth inning that was like Robin Yount-esque. If you've ever seen the highlights of the 1987 no-hitter with Juan Nieves, Robin Yount had a terrific catch to save the no-hitter. Much debate over time if he needed to lay out. I think the correct answer is no. He got a little dramatic, which, go for it. But it was a big catch in the outfield, Christian Yelich. And he said, that was my turning point. It's happening today. And then I think the next batter Woodruff faced, he gave up a hit.
I know what you mean, though. Every no-hitter has to have a great defensive play.
Got it. Other doesn't count.
Mark Burley, Dwayne Wise.
Yeah, it doesn't count. Dwayne Wise, yeah. It doesn't count. I mean, whatever, it would count, but it just seems like there's always a great defensive play. So then Ian Happ comes up, first batter in the seventh, and they get the hit. So Woody finishes the inning, finishes with 74 pitches. They take him out. A lot of question about that. We'll talk about that coming up. He was on board the decision. He said he was gassed. So I think there's going to be a lot more of this than I would like to start the season. I feel like managers are going to overdo it. Pitchers coming out way before the magical 100 pitch count, but it's going to happen. And if Woodruff and pitchers say what Woodruff said yesterday, then it's going to happen a lot. And we're just going to have to get used to it for a while, at least for this year. That'll be coming up in a couple of minutes. But the no-hitter, Brewers win yesterday. I don't know if I even mentioned that yet. 4-2, they do get the victory. It goes to extra innings, which that rule, which I want to hate so bad, I just love. I want to hate it so bad, but I love it. But the Brewers do get the win, 4-2, and Woody comes out. I feel like I have seen the Brewers have a no-hitter through six. I remember a game I went with my wife, brother, and grandma. And Chase Anderson had a no-hitter through six. And I'm trying to, like, I don't think my grandma knew. So I'm trying to tell her without telling her. It's like, hey, grandma, the Brewers have yet to allow any Cubs on base. And she goes, that's neat. No, grandma, I'm trying to, like, this is a major significant thing happening. The Brewers haven't allowed anyone to get on base. What are you trying to say, beloved grandson? The Cubs have not made any contact with the bat to put the ball in play. Oh, the Brewers have a no-hitter going. Yes, grandma. Jeez, come on. Grandma. Dave Bush, I feel like, has done it 500 times. Zach Davies, I think, has done it a few times. I want to say Wade Miley did it once. A no-hitter through the sixth, if you're a Brewer, means nothing. Nothing at all. You got to get into the seventh. Then I would have started to think no-hitter, because then you're six outs away, and then I'm okay. But a Brewer, a no-hitter through the sixth, I have seen that 1,000 times, and we saw it again yesterday. But the Brewers do get a win, so they drop 2 or 3 to the Twins, and then against the Cubs, they take 2 or 3. So now they're 3-3. And remember 2 days ago when we thought the season was over because they were 1-3 and we were panicking? Well, look at this. Now they're 500 and they've got the St. Louis Cardinals starting today and no one's talking about panicking. All is well. Not all is well. Keston Hira is still hitless, which is a problem. Larys Urias is still not good. So he's got a lot of pressure on him after the Arcia trade. You'd like to see that get better. But 3-3, hey, we'll take it. Brewers-Cardinals today. Much more on this game, the ins and outs. Lorenzo Cain, a huge day for him, 2 home runs. Brandon Woodruff, his great performance, yet lifted after 74 pitches, and why you may see this a lot more than we're ready to at the beginning of the season. And then Brad Boxberger. Pitched the other day, pitches again yesterday. He gets the save. We'll talk much more Brewers with you guys. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us 1250 AM the Fan. 414-799-1250. Were you guys thinking no hitter? Because I'm not doing it until at least after 7. After 6, my gosh, they'll probably do it again today and Sunday and next Tuesday. That's what the Brewers do. One no hitter, 1987. I was 3 years old, so I can say it was in my lifetime. I think I'm going to the grave never seeing one. And I could live for as long as the double lifetime warranty at Windows Select is good for. I could live for 2 lifetimes. We're just not going to see another one in Milwaukee, guys. Just not happening. 414-799-1250.
Saw the numbers for Cain with runners in scoring position his career. 294, pretty good numbers right there. And this one lifted into center field. Way back goes Happ. It's out of here. A 3-run bomb for Lorenzo Cain, his second home run in as many at-bats. And Milwaukee out in front, 4-1.
Boy, that was a blast. A 1-1 pitch, Workman gave him a fastball, and he knocked it out of here. A 3-run shot. 4-seamer, middle in, and look at the extension that Lorenzo gets on that pitch. Another back leg swing for Cain. 4 RBIs for him today. He's driven all of them in.
Wow. Lorenzo Cain, took him a while to get going yesterday, but he got going. 0-for-3, and then he cranked a home run in the 8th to give the Brewers the 1-0 lead. And then again in the 10th, a 3-run shot to give the Brewers the 4-1 lead. Brewers go into the bottom of the 10th. Do give up a run. J.P. Feiereisen doing all right, but getting himself in some trouble. So Brad Boxberger comes in and picks up the save. Brad Boxberger. They had already pitched Devin Williams. They had already pitched Josh Hader, if you wonder. And it was extra innings. Devin Williams, by the way, he gave up a home run too. So he's given up two runs now in two games. And Jack Peterson hit the home run off Devin Williams. And it was the first home run ever hit in modern history, according to the way Jack Peterson reacted after the home run. Either that or he thought he won the game. And he thought the game was Game 7 of the World Series because he was pumped. Hey, kudos for being pumped. I always say celebrate in sports. Run up the score. You practice hard. You're a major leaguer. You practice hard to get to where you are. But even still, Jack, you tied the game. Like the thing Ross does on Friends where he's like, tone it down just a little. Jack Peterson. But big day for Lorenzo Cain, the one brewer that I did not take in my DraftKings lineup yesterday. I did a day DraftKings lineup. I did Shane Bieber and Woody were my pitchers. So I scored a lot of points. But then I took all the other guys that didn't do anything, and I bring this up because I'm in the worst DraftKings slump of my life. If you need 110 points to get in the money, I get 109.9. It's a brutal run that I'm on right now. That's why I need the Masters today. I need the Masters. I need my pool. I got my pools ready. I got my DraftKings. I got my FanDuels. I'm dipping my toes in all the waters. But I went same lineup on a lot of these. Big into John Rahm. That's what our boy Nick Costos told us yesterday. You better, you bet. Big into Abraham Answer. Big into Patty Reed. Jordan Spieth. Masters tee off in about 40 minutes here. So the Brewers do have a no-hitter going through six. Brandon Woodruff, incredible. Brewers fans, we've been there before. It seems like a no-hitter through six is just what they do. First batter of the seventh, Ian Happ does get a hit. So, okay, bummer. But Woody had not thrown a ton of pitches up to that point. So let's keep going here. Can we get a complete game shutout at least? I mean, Woody can do something really, really special. He gets through the seventh, so that's seven innings, and he's done with 74 pitches. And then they lift him. And I did have another buddy text me. You know, I like that the Brewers are starting because my friends, like, remember I exist. I feel like I haven't seen my friends in a year.
Yeah, you don't see everybody at the gas station now.
Ah, yeah. I don't have to just rely on that and you. So Council and Woodruff talked about why they lifted him after seven. Because I had a buddy text me, he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And that's what he said, word for word, that many woes. He said, why is Woodruff out? I said, dude, I don't like it either, but they're going to do this a lot, especially early. Woodruff actually threw less pitches yesterday than he did on opening day. They're going to do this a lot early, though. They are, I mean, you listen to Craig Counsell at any point in spring, or you listen to any baseball manager or even pitcher. They are really concerned about having these guys be healthy through 162 games. David Stearns talked about it when he was on the big show 2 weeks ago. They're really, they don't think they're going to get 30 starts out of these guys. They are planning, and that's why the Brewers made that Arcia trade. Just to get two more arms in the system. They're planning to have to go through a lot of arms by going from 60 games to 162. Even though, like Woodruff, 162 games, he's experienced full seasons his whole career, and then last year you shrink it a little bit. They just think it's going to be very hard to go to that shortened season and now have to get these guys stretched out and ready to go health-wise, arm-wise, for a full season. So they're going to start to manage these guys a little heavier than you would think. 74 pitches of one-hit baseball through seven innings, you keep that guy in the game. But for this particular game, this early in the season, it's just not going to happen at this point. Craig Counsell and then Brandon Woodruff agrees.
We definitely talked about it as the seventh inning went on after the leadoff guy. When the leadoff guy got on, it was, I thought he was expending a lot of energy to get through that inning. And he said it immediately when he came in. So it was, you know, we I I talked to Woody about it, but at this point, it was the right thing to do. And there are going to be times when he keeps going, but this was the right thing to do at this point.
After that inning, I think it was once Hap got the hit there on you, I had to kind of empty the tank in a sense. And even though it wasn't that many pitches, the ups is what gets you a little bit. And after that, and getting out of that inning and basically just emptying the tank there in the seventh and just to get through that, I was a little tired coming out after that inning. So, hopefully, you know, I think the biggest thing we have to look at is I think that was the right time. I think that was the right moment to do it because I was losing myself in my delivery a little bit on some pitches there. Not too much, but just a few pitches there towards the end. And I think Hookie and Counts kind of identified it too as well. So, I think it was the right move. So hopefully going forward, I get through seven on 72 pitches. They'll have to, you know, pretty much rip me off the mound to take me out. So, but it's still early and, I'm just glad we pulled out that win.
Yeah, 74 pitches. I mean, especially if you have seven innings of one hit ball, you think that because 100 is kind of become the point where you get a guy out before he gets 100. If he's over 100, but he's still throwing a no-no or still throwing well, you can kind of negotiate a little bit. But with where Woodruff is at and where they are early in the season, and Woodruff probably could. Based on what he said in spring, he could probably throw 100 pitches and be fine. But look at his first two games so far. I mean, they have been high-octane kind of games. First game is opening day with fans at your home stadium for the first time in a year and a half. So the adrenaline's pumping. I mean, Josh Hader, who throws 95, 96, is touching 100 with the adrenaline on opening day. And Woodruff has to be the starting pitcher through that. So that's the first, like, you're taking a guy who has gone through a year of not pitching in front of any fans, and then the low stakes of spring training, okay? And then you put him into opening day, where there's 12,000 people, sounds like 40, and there's a lot of energy in these fans. All their cheering that they have had pent up inside of them for a year. So they're ready to go. And you as the pitcher are dealing with that. And he was surprised. He said after opening day, I was surprised how much it affected me, but the adrenaline, man, it tires you out. You get that adrenaline, you get going, but then you crash from it. And then yesterday, so all right, second start should be a little more calm. Yeah, it's in Wrigley and Brewers Cubs, but it should be a little more calm. Oh no, you're throwing a no-hitter through six. So the adrenaline is way up again. So for Woodruff, if he's going to get to like 90, 95, 100 pitches, he's going to have somewhat of a more normal game. You go from opening day to a no-hitter through six. These are two of the most adrenaline-inducing games that you can have to start the season. He comes out. Devin Williams comes in. A tough start to the year for Devin Williams. So Devin Williams allowed one earned run all of last year. And it earned him Rookie of the Year. And now in two starts, he's allowed two runs, Craig Counsell.
I thought Devin threw the ball a lot better today. I thought he threw the ball really good today. I mean, he made a mistake. You know, he didn't locate a fastball to Peterson. And look, I'd give Jock credit. It was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, he deserves some credit for hitting that. This season was not going to be the same for Devin Williams. There's going to be challenges to it. The league presents players with challenges. It's incredible at doing that. Devin and I had that conversation this offseason. But Devin threw the ball great today. He's going to be really good this year. And I thought today was a big step forward from Monday night.
Well, yeah, because he didn't hit anybody in the skull, so that was a plus. So that was good. Josh Hader gets credited for the win. He had a nice inning. And then J.P. Fireisen comes in for a big spot to get the save. Puts a couple of guys on, a couple of walks, allows the run. So then Brad Boxberger gets it done. Brad Boxberger, who's been on this team for all of 40 hours, comes in with a good spot the other night, and then gets the save here against the Cubs. So the Brewers, 3-3. It's another day game today. Schedule is this opening day stuff. They're opening it up in St. Louis today. I haven't checked the weather. I would assume that everything's fine. I'm going to look at it right now on our Fan Doppler 9000. Yeah, a little cloudy today. There is a chance of showers tonight. So good thing they're getting this game in early. Although the chance of showers around 5. But tomorrow's sunny. It's 52 in St. Louis today. It's 75 there tomorrow and sunny. So that's why they do this. They want to protect opening day. If for some reason they can't finish, they'll finish Saturday. I would assume they'll be fine today, but they'll get the game in today. There's a built-in off day tomorrow. So two Fridays in a row with no Brewers baseball. Weird. And then day games Saturday and Sunday. So no more night games this week. I was really jonesing for a Brewers game last night. So when they play in the day, I love it. Oh, I love it. But then I need them to play again at night. I can't wait any longer for the next day. Brewers have the Cardinals this weekend in a weekend set. Again, they play today. No game tomorrow. Day game Saturday and Sunday. On the mound today for the crew will be Corbin Burnes, and he will take on Adam Wainwright, who did not have a good first outing for St. Louis. Hauser and Martinez on Saturday. Brett Anderson, Daniel Ponce de Leon on Sunday. So that's what's coming up. Still want to talk about the guys at the plate yesterday. So Brandon Woodruff, great day, a little tired. We'll see what happens in start number 3. At the plate, huge day for Lorenzo Cain, and then two guys still scuffling along. And I don't know what you do, especially with a guy like Keston Hira. It is so early in the season, but the longer he goes without a hit, the more he thinks about it's been long without a hit. They mentioned this on the broadcast yesterday. If you go up there and think, I don't have any hits this year, that's going to completely change your at-bat because you're so desperate for a hit. So we'll talk to you guys about that, where the concern is with Hira. Lorenzo Cain, big day for him. He defends the guy that you've all been trashing. And we'll talk a little about the extra inning rules as well. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 1250 AM, The Fan.
Lorenzo Cain to left, deep. Peterson looks up, and it's gone! A home run for Lorenzo Cain, and there's your first run of the ball game here in the 8th inning. 1-0 Milwaukee.
Yep, Mills let one up and in, and Lorenzo A with a back-footed out of here. With that wind, the way it's blowing out to left, you get it up in the air, and Lorenzo with a big fly to left field. There's your run.
Brewers get the home run in the 8th inning from Lorenzo Cain. Back in the leadoff spot. Happy to be there.
You know, it's been a while since I've been up there. So, felt good to be back up there to, you know, leadoff spot. But at the same time, you know, I was happy that I was able to go out there and produce and, you know, get on base, driving some runs. Just kind of, you know, be that table setter for the guys. So, you know, it was a great day for me. But most importantly, we got to win.
Yeah, you got a hit in the 8th inning, which was the home run. Another one in extra innings, which was the 3-run home run. The extra inning rule, I like baseball, and I like that it's long. And I like that the season's long. I love the extra innings. I love long games. I love looking at the box scores after long games. I love when they have to dip into the next day's starter. And it, like, ruins their pitching rotation for a week. I love when a position player has to pitch. I love when they're out of guys. Like, where are we going to – if we pinch hit Manny Pena here, he's going to have to play third. I love all that. You know who doesn't love that? Everybody actually in baseball hates that because it ruins it for weeks. Ruins their bullpen for weeks, and they got to make a bunch of moves. So there's a lot of things that they're experimenting with in baseball, including this extra inning rule. And some of these rules we've seen now and I still don't like. Like, I don't – the pitching limit, you have to face three guys. That is such an arbitrary – it's like, why? It's stupid.
The council rule.
Yeah, the council rule, because he would, you know, have success with bringing in a bunch of guys. And there's a lot of managers. Some managers – La Russa always did it with the Cardinals, where he overdid it. Like – I get it, lefty righty, and you play the matchups, but there was a time the Cardinals, every batter was facing a new pitcher. And that slows the game down, and that's not what they want. But I don't want anything in baseball. My default take is I don't want anything baseball where there's a clock, and I don't want anything baseball where you have to add, like, I don't want to count more. Like, we count balls and strikes, and we count outs. Okay. That's what we count. I don't want to count batters faced by pitcher. I don't want to have to, add all these things to the scoreboard to keep track. Oh, we got to count how many pitching mound visits they have. It's just too much. It's too much to keep track of. And a lot of it, again, is just, it's just arbitrary. So inherently, I don't like it. I like the long season. I like that it's 9 innings, and the 9 innings could take 2 hours. They could take 5 hours. You're playing the outs, and you're playing the 27 outs. I like that. So baseball has some of these rules, and we see them in practice, and I think I don't like them, and then I see them, and I know I don't like them. The mound visit thing, stupid, who cares? The pitchers, three batters, they got to face, dumb, stupid. Double headers that are 7 innings now instead of 9, that is weird. I can't wrap my head around that still, how that makes sense. But then there's the extra innings rule, where you start a guy on second. Son of a Vondruk, if I don't love it. I don't want to love it. It doesn't make any sense. A guy starts on second. There's still no practical way to get him in, like, the box score if you're keeping score. He's just there. It's like a ghost runner, like when you're a kid. He's just there. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. But man, is it exciting. So that's what I come back to. I don't like that the principle of me doesn't like it, but when I see it in practice, I like it a lot. And that's kind of what Craig Counsell talked about earlier in the spring. He said, look, you know, I'm not going to give you my thoughts on a lot of these rules. I just want to see them in practice, because a lot of these rules that I have thoughts on and that others have thoughts on, and I'm paraphrasing here, a lot of my thoughts, all we do is debate them. Should there be this? Should there be this? Well, let's see what they're like. And then we can stop the debate. Let's see what they're like in practice. The minor leagues, they're doing a bunch of different tweaks this year. You know, they're going to try to abandon the shift at one of the levels. That I have a really hard time with.
Yeah, I don't like.
Put the guys where you want.
Right, I don't like taking away the shift, you know.
Stupid.
Anthony Rizzo can't lay down a bunt down the third baseline, then that's his problem.
So if a guy always hits to right field, and you're like, well, let's put our guys over in right field then, or at least in the infield over there, you're just supposed to say no? Like, if I'm playing chess and I make a move, you're not letting the other person make a certain move, even though legally they can move the guy there? Well, yeah, we're going to play chess, but you can't use your rook at any time. No strategy from the rook. Well, why? I don't like that. I don't like that. They have bigger bases at one level. Okay, fine. The extra inning rule, though, it should be so dumb. A guy starts on second, but it makes it so much more exciting. And I think it does kind of work. Because if you look at overtimes in other sports, you know, in soccer, if it gets to a point where no one is scoring, all right, you do a shootout. And I'm not always thrilled with that, but at some point, I mean, they're just going to run around and kick the ball forever. You got to find a winner somehow if you're looking for a winner and not looking for a tie. In basketball, hey, you're not playing another full period. You're playing 5 minutes. It's different. It's relatively the same, but there's something to make it go quicker. It's overtime. It's you've played the game. Now we need to determine a winner. Football, the NFL keeps tinkering, and it seems like they keep getting further away from what they should be doing. I think a lot of us like the college way. If you're going to have overtime look different from the game, then do what college does. College, they get possessions. You know, at some point, they have to start going for two. So if the point of overtime isn't to continue the play the way you've been playing and just play it out till you get a winner, if the point of overtime is to, let's get a winner here as quick as we can, then this is a good way to do it. This is a good way and a fair way to do it. So I hate it in practice. I love 20 inning games. I love watching the box score. I love looking at it the next day. But it doesn't make sense for the players and the managers that are out there. And plus, the Brewers are 2-0 in extra innings this year. And they've started at home and on the road. So they've been in both situations, and they're 2-0. If they were 0-2, well, then I probably would come on here and say, this is the dumbest rule ever. Rob Manfred needs to go. I can't believe we're still doing this. What are we doing? But I'm benefiting from it as a fan, so I like it. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Lorenzo Cain with the home run in the seventh, or eighth rather, and then Lorenzo Cain with the home run in extra innings. It always helps, too, if you want to end a game in extra innings, hit a home run. And he had a guy on first, also had the guy on third that started on second, so an extra RBI for Lorenzo Cain. Nice way to see him get into that groove. He defends Andy Haynes, the guy you guys have all been trashing, because some of these guys can't hit. Well, some of them are. Lorenzo Cain, one of them.
I know we've been scuffling as a team as far as hitting, I do want to say this, that, you know, Andy Haynes and my guy, Cruiser, definitely two of the hardest working hitting coaches in the league for me. I know things have been going the way we wanted early on, but like I said, I'll vouch for those two guys any day of the week. And, you know, us as men, we got to just step up and go up and get the job done. So hopefully things change. Hopefully it gets better, you know, good or bad the rest of the season. You know, I definitely vouch for those two guys 100%.
So, yeah, I mean, he's doing a great job with Narvaez. He's doing a great job with Cain. I think something needs to change with Keston Hira, who is 0 for the season. What is it now, 0 for 19?
Yeah.
Kesty.
Two strikeouts yesterday. Not great. Especially when he was looking so good in the last couple weeks in spring training, and then just complete fall off.
I hope this makes sense, because, yeah, 10 strikeouts and 19 at-bats. Oh, Keston. The longer it goes. Does that make sense? The longer that Keston Hira doesn't have a hit, the longer Keston Hira won't have a hit.
Is he like this year's Travis Shaw from a couple years ago?
I don't know. I think it's still way too early to...
Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, some of these guys are throwing him cookies right down the middle. But the fact that he can't hit the off-speed stuff is just mind-boggling.
Like, the more that Keston can't hit, the more he's going to think about it and can't hit. Okay? You get up to the plate, you're 0 for 19. What is he thinking of the first time that he's standing at the plate? He's thinking, I'm 0 for 19. I mean, how do you not? And then Urias, who, dude, pressure's on. They traded Arcia. You're the starting shortstop. You got to get a hit. I mean, when he's at the plate, I'm thinking, nah, no chance. Automatic out. So a couple guys that Haynes needs to really focus on in the St. Louis series. We'll see what the lineup looks like today. Maybe Daniel Robertson has earned himself another start. We didn't see Colton Wong yesterday. Colton Wong should be good to go today. You know he wants to play today. Opening day in St. Louis. He's been a part of a handful of those. So we'll see if he's back in the lineup after not being in there yesterday. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us 1250 AM The Fan. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. Brewers, a no-hitter through six. They lose it. Don't lose the game, though. 3-3 on the season. More from you guys coming up. 1250 AM The Fan. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all your plumbing needs. It's Masters Day. Masters Thursday. Today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, of course. The best tournament in golf. We agree on that, yeah, best tournament in golf. I mean, it's the Masters.
Oh, hands down. I'm not even really a golf fan, but I always have it on in the background.
Your boy's big into the Players Championship. I do like the Players. I do like that because I played that course on Tiger Woods Golf a lot back in the day. So I'm a little fond of that one. But, yeah, the Masters. And we just had a Masters. It was in November. And if there's one thing I've been told about this Masters compared to November, throw November out the window. Different course, different time of the year. I liked the Masters in November. I remember liking it. But it does belong in April with the azaleas. And should I do the thing that we do when I play the Masters music and say, hello, friends? Everyone else is doing it today.
Yeah, I already heard Amy Lawrence do it on the way
in
today.
She did?
Yep. So I feel like you kind of have to. I feel like it's kind of like a radio obligation.
Yeah, I feel like they're all doing it. All right, I'll get that going. I got to do that at some point. But the Masters are today. We'll talk to Ryan Horvat, our good buddy, coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour, the Horvat Happy Hour. He's on BetQL Daily today. They gave out a ton of Masters picks, so we'll see what he settled on here as the tournament gets started in a couple of minutes, really. It tees off just after 7. ESPN's got the coverage first 2 days. CBS, of course, over the weekend with Jim Nantz and the boys. This is always Jim Nantz. Oh, I'm just going to go to the NCAA championship, and then 4 days later, I'm at the Masters. Nice gig for Jim Nantz. Nice gig. You know he hasn't given out his tie in 5 years? We were talking about that the other day. Who'd he give his tie to? He hasn't given his tie in 5 years. Jim Nantz is coming up 9 o'clock. We'll talk some Brewers with Andrew Wagner, our bad, bad buddy Andrew Wagner. Him and I feuding for years, forever fighting. But we'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. And then Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. He is dead set on the Packers taking a cornerback at 29. I think the Packers do draft a cornerback with their first pick. I'll agree with him on that. I feel like if they want to get a good one, they're going to have to go up. Or if they're, I just think at 29, the value for cornerback isn't going to be at 29. There's going to be cornerbacks that should be drafted like 10 through 20. There's going to be cornerbacks that should then be drafted 50 through 70. So the Packers may have, if they want to get their true value, they could always reach. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for the Packers to reach on a draft pick. Cough, 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 Jordan Love. So it wouldn't be unusual for that.
So that'd be the third draft in a row that they trade up then.
Goody trades up. That's what he does. That's what he does. So we'll see if they do it again. The draft, by the way, is in like 3 weeks.
Doesn't really feel
like it. No, I still feel like the draft is a month and a half away. Yeah, draft's in 1, 2, 3 weeks. The NFL draft coming up in a little bit. We've been distracted with baseball and the Masters now and the NCAA tournament. So that's good. See, last year, all we had was the draft. You know what we were doing last year at this time? We were watching The Last Dance. And we were looking forward to the draft. That's all we had. That was it. There was nothing. The Bundesliga came back mid-May. Oh, my God. You know, the time hop features or whatever, and you try to look back. Last night kind of felt like a night from last year. I had nothing to watch. Yeah, there were sports on, but there was like a couple baseball games, maybe a few NBA games.
Oh, you missed a good one last night, Jazz and Suns. I'm sure Ryan will tell you about it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, that was a really good game.
What went down?
They went into overtime. Devin Booker going off. Donovan Mitchell had a pretty decent game.
Oh, was that the night game? Because I went to bed at 8:30.
Yeah, I mean, probably ended around. I think it went to overtime, so probably ended around 11:30-ish.
You know, I did yesterday. I went to the zoo.
Yeah, you told me about that. How is the zoo? Because I kind of forget it's a thing.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, especially like a person my age, like, I've known really, nobody's ever like, hey, let's go to the zoo today. Like, yeah. So I kind of forget it's a thing.
Well, yeah.
Not that I'm knocking it. Like, I would go to the zoo if I could, but I just, you know, kind of forget that it exists.
Well, my kid's like a year and a half, so we thought, let's see what's up at the zoo. This is the second time I've been to the zoo with him. The first time was the weekend before the shutdown last year. And so there I was packed with hundreds of people. And it was a Saturday. The zoo was packed that day. And I met some friends. And I didn't, you know, well, we're masked at the time. But I had gloves on. And I wouldn't take them off. And people were like, why do you have gloves on? I said, coronavirus 19. And they said, that's not a thing. And then I went home and washed the gloves and thought I was protected. When probably coronavirus really did spread that day at the zoo. Super spreader. So I went yesterday. I don't know if it's midweek. I don't know if it's the time of the year. There was like no animals around. I don't know where the elephants were. I don't know where the apes were. The giraffes were out. Oh, the giraffes were out. I saw the giraffes experiencing nature.
Oh.
Yeah.
Easy there.
I saw the giraffe. I saw it.
The circle of life.
I saw it occur over and over again. I saw it. But the one thing you got to be careful of is in that part. So it's in what, Tulsa officially? I live on the east side where it was like 50 degrees. And the zoo yesterday was like 80 degrees. The temperature change was that drastic. So I came to work yesterday, what I always come in, sweatpants, long sleeve shirt, and a winter hat. I go to the zoo, I'm roasting.
Oh, just like the domes?
Just like the domes, Sam.
You got a bad experience with like anything, any, you know, any outside curricular activities outside of this radio station. You're just not built for it.
The heat is the worst. My son had a decent time. He had a decent time just because he likes to walk around more than anything. I mean, the giraffes were kind of neat for him, and he got not the nature part. He didn't know what that was. He liked seeing a polar bear. That was all right. The fish. He got into like the fish tanks. He got into that. But really, he just liked to walk around in a new spot. But my poor son, it's like it wasn't even that hot yesterday, but he's already drenching in sweat. He's got his daddy's sweat jeans. You know, 68, 69 degrees, nice. I start dripping. Not good. Not good for your boy. So that's what I did yesterday. I went to the zoo. Then I came home, watched the Brewers have a no-hitter through six, and then give it up. Do you guys believe in the no-hitter jinx? 52% of you say yes. 52% of you, we've got to pull up 1250 AM, the fan. You can vote on that. 52% of you say, yes, we believe in the no-hitter jinx. We'll talk to Horvat about that as Woodruff goes six and then does give it up. Yanked after 74 pitches, but again, that is just how it's going to be, at least at the beginning of the season. And for Brandon Woodruff, talk about two more adrenaline-fueled starts. You've got opening day, and then you've got a no-hitter through six. Plus, hey, we didn't get to the big Brewer news. You weren't able to do it. Now you can do it. What am I talking about? I'll tell you. How's that? Next.